For tapes of End Time Meetings, Deliverance Services, or Lake Hamilton Bible Campground's publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, writes Post Office Box 21516, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas, zip 71903.
Our website is www.lakehamiltonbiblecamp.com and lhbconline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Wednesday afternoon, July the 8th, 1992. Summer family camp meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Brother and sister Coffee are the speakers of the afternoon.
The Lord is good. Praise the Lord. We're going to minister together. I'm going to minister, and then he's going to do the mass deliverance. Because we are deliverance ministers. We have a church. Brother Bill was talking about a street minister. We don't go out on the street. But the Lord brings them in. We have a church, a church in Millington, Tennessee. It's just like 20 miles from Memphis. And we preach there and do deliverance. And I'll just share some things with you this afternoon. I want to do some sharing. I was saying when I was asked to share this afternoon, I thought, Lord, why me? Because there's so many people, men here that's got the word and you know, that they can minister to us. And as I was saying all this, one of the Lord said, why don't you share some of the things that he's doing and how he's working to help deliver those that are so desperate for deliverance.
Yes.
But we have this little church, and we've been in it for 13 years. We were in Brighton, and it was called the Tree of Life, Pathway of Life. And we were there for 13 years, and then we moved it into Millington, and our people wanted to change the name of it. So we changed it, and we changed it to the Tree of Life. And we are just a small group now. We have been a lot, we were pretty good size at one time. We called pretty good size at one time, but we're real small right now. But our son came back in 1983, I think it was. He was into drugs. He was into just about everything. But he had made a lot of money, and he lost it all. And he lost his home. He lost his wife. He lost his child. And he became real desperate, and the Lord brought him home. He didn't like to come home because all he heard at home was praise the Lord, and the Lord will take care of that, you know, things like that. Just the way we live. But the Lord brought him home and he got saved. I'm not going to give you his testimony, but I'm just going to show you how the Lord works. He brought him in. He brought him out of drugs and all. And he was really sick. He said he came home to die, but he came home to find life. And the Lord healed him and delivered him from drugs. And then he was taught deliverance. He stayed with us for 9 months, stayed in our house. He was 40-something years old. He's 46 now. But he was 40, at that time he was late 30s, but now the Lord brought him on and taught him deliverance. And he left and went on to Bible college. He went to Texas and went to Christ for the Nations. And he met a man out there, and I can't remember the man's last name, but his first name is Hilton something. And no, it's another man, another Hilton, that was a missionary over in Jamaica. But he got together with my son. My son has come back to Memphis now. We taught him deliverance. He went to Bible school, and then the Lord brought him back to Memphis. And he's involved in a mission in Memphis. They have a Lamar Street mission. Well, we're still in our little church. I'm sharing with you the things the Lord reminded me this morning that he'd been doing in us and for us and through us. And sometimes you don't recognize what God's doing. You feel like, Lord, I'm just sitting in this little old church, you know, and we've ministered to the same people all the time, you know, and we're doing what the Lord has called us to do. But you feel like, Lord, what's happening? You know, what's really happening? And the Lord began to show me that this morning. He said, it's a completed circle. Our son came and was saved. He went to Bible college and came back to Memphis. He's working in a mission. And through him, this son that we taught deliverance, the Lord has opened the door for us to minister to straight people. The people come into the mission. They have about 60, 65 men there. They bring them in. They bring them off the street. And they don't just bring them in and feed them and clothe them and clean them up. They bring them in, clean them up, clothe them, and they preach to them. They get preached to three times a day. morning, noon, and night. And we were asked to come. I was asked last year to come down there, and I didn't feel led of the Lord to go. Coming out of a Baptist church, I had a real hard time ministering men. But the Lord has really worked on that in me. But they asked me to come down there and teach the men how to do deliverance. But I just didn't go. But about 4 months ago, they brought, I wouldn't go down there. Jim and I, we didn't go down there. So they decided to bring them to us. They put them in a bus, and they bust them out to our church. And we began to minister to them. And one Sunday night, I was ministering deliverance to a little black boy. He's 23 years old. Just has everything on him, just precious little guy. And he is so tormented, he hears voices, has voices talk to him. He says it's always telling him to bless from God and to turn from God. And he came to me and he says, Miss Coffey, he said, please help me. He said, come down and help me get free. And then there was a man that was over them, a white man that was over them that had brought them out there. And he came to me and he said, Miss Coffey, just come and teach us. Now, he asked me because my husband works. This is why they asked me. My husband works at a full-time job. So they ganged up on me. And I said, well, I'll tell you what. I'll come if it's okay with the people that's in charge. And about 2 days later, I got a phone call. Now, I did not know if these men went to the pastor at that time. I kind of suspicioned they did, but I asked to find out. But the pastor, the associate pastor of the biggest charismatic church in Memphis, he's in charge of this mission. My son is over the mission, and they have a church also, and my son's over the church, but this minister is on the board. They have a board, and this minister is on the board. So he called and he asked me to come and teach. Well, I thought, well, I'll go one day a week and teach. But he said, will you come two days a week? He asked me to come on Tuesdays and Thursdays, and I said, okay, I'll do it. I didn't think when I was saying I'll do it. All I could hear was that little boy saying to me, please help me. Well, I went, and I tell you, I went down there to help him, but I tell you, they blessed me. I walked in there the first morning. They're in this church that's about the size of this building, and there's at least 65 people there, all men. That first time I went down there, they were all men. And they were praising the Lord. The Spirit of the Lord was so, so powerful in that place. These men were newly saved. You know what newly saved people, how excited they are about the Lord? They had their hands up. They were praising the Lord, and they were laying on the floor in the aisle. They were across the altar praying. And the power of God was so strong there that I could hardly stand when I went in to minister. And then the Lord, I began to teach them. First of all, I was teaching them be sure they knew Jesus. And I began to teach them deliverance. I began to teach them how to bind. I thought about it since we've been here, Brother Glenn. I thought about it. I don't see the oil bottle here, but I'm telling you, we can't keep oil. We can't keep oil in that place. But when they say anoint, they go get that bottle and they just pour it on them. And they believe for the Lord to do it instantly, and He does. And we're seeing so many of them get free from so many things. Well, as we're ministering to these men, every time you go, you got at least 15 new ones in there that hasn't heard. They go out. We're teaching them how to get saved, how to go out and witness to others, how to minister deliverance to them. And they're going out on the streets. They're the ones got the street minister. They're going out there preaching. They're going into homes and teaching Bible. And then they're bringing those people in. The ones they get saved, they bring them in. We teach them. Then they're going out and doing it. I am so excited because every time I go to minister, I, as I said, twice a week, when I get through something that I do that, you know, I'm still a woman and I'm doing the mass deliverance. Well, these spirits begin to manifest. And these little guys that know nothing about, and if they're not really, really saved, maybe they just voice some words, they begin to see the Spirit of God move and these spirits manifest on these men. And they come up and say, I want to know Jesus. I want to be sure that I'm saved. And I don't want to go back out because I know what all these things, I see all these things and I don't want that to happen to me. They see these spirits manifesting. We see spirits manifest and we get afraid. But these men know the power of God. See, the power of God manifests demons. They manifest. And they scream out. They scream out at you. I was sitting there, I think it was on Tuesday before we left. I was ministering Tuesday morning, and there's a little black guy sitting over the side over here, and his name's Angelo. He's been receiving much deliverance. And I was preaching, and I really wasn't paying any attention to him, and all of a sudden I heard something go, And he was kind of going to come at me, you know, like this. And I stopped and I said, no, you don't. In the name of Jesus, I bound you to that chair. And I said, Father, would you special angels around him to see that he stays there so he can get ministered to? And I saw him sit back down. He never stopped growling, but he sat back down. I heard Brother Moore talking about angels last night. Listen, angels are real. They're real. And God says their ministering spirit send forth the minister for those that shall be heirs of salvation. He's given us authority to use them. Now, you may not agree with me, but let me tell you something. I'm talking about what I have experienced, because I have seen the angels hold a person to keep them from attacking me when the spirits in the manifest. I have heard the spirits, the demons, and I say spirits. When I'm talking to the men, I say demons, because if I say spirits, they may think I'm talking about the Holy Spirit. When I say a demon would manifest in someone, they want me to tell them whether I'm talking about an evil spirit or the Spirit of the Lord, so I say demons. But when a demon manifests, we've had them manifest and tell us, you're not going to send me where you sent the other one, and you get this blankety-blank angel away from me. See, the demons have confirmed the Word of God. And I know that we don't like to have it done that way, but see, we're natural people. We walk with our understanding more than anything else. But when you hear demons say that, I see an angel, then he's shaking his chains, I always say, Father, would you send me two angels with chains to stand guard till this thing comes out, and then the angels will take it away. And I've had the demons just scream and get really upset because those angels are standing there. When I realize, see, I don't depend upon demons to tell me what to do, but when I realize that, I say, Lord, let the angels rattle their chain. And they just get so mad. But see, these men are learning this, and they're putting it in practice.
Yes.
They're not waiting on the women to do it. I've been in church for 13 years, and I saw so many of the men stand back and let the women do all the work. And I tell you, it's been a blessing to me to see the men. These men jump up. I was in there a couple of weeks ago, and I looked around, and I thought, I don't see anybody I know. Where's my help, Lord? You know, if something manifests, who's going to grab them before, you know, I know the Lord's going to protect me, but you don't really know what they're going to do with the minute that one of these men, well, you're dealing with all kinds of powers in people. And you don't know what's going to happen. I said, Lord, where's my help? He said, it's all around you. And then when I began to minister, as I began to teach, and then after I got through teaching the Word of God, and I began to call out the spirits, I saw new men rise up. And they had their paper towel under their arm, and they were standing there waiting for somebody to need help. I just got so blessed. I thought, oh, I don't have to do it anymore. I can still let walk through them. I praise the Lord. My son left yesterday. Today's Wednesday. He went to Mobile, Alabama. They're starting a new mission there. They've already got the building, and they're going out bringing in the people off the street. Nobody else wants to mess with them. They're dirty. They don't smell good, and they're drug addicts. They're alcoholics. They're murderers. They bring in men with AIDS. They bring in men that are homosexual. They bring in all kinds. And these men that know Jesus begin to love these men and to minister the love of Jesus to them. And the next thing you know, if you ask anybody in that place, how are you, brother? I'm blessed. I've never had somebody tell me, I'm down, I'm defeated, I'm hurting, or I'm sick. They'll tell you, I'm blessed. So you say God wants us to reach out, and he wants us to know our authority, and the angels of the Lord encamp around about us, and we see all this, and we know it. But what do we do with it? What are we doing with it? I want to ask you something. I'm going to share some on unforgiveness, but the Lord was showing me how us in that little tiny church there, it's this complete circle. Our son came in, he got saved, and the Lord let us nurture him for 9 months teaching. And then he went out, he went to Bible school and came back, and now he's opened the door for Mom and Dad goes down there. I minister twice a week, Jim ministers on Friday night. We have mass deliverance 3 times a week, and these men are getting delivered. They're getting free, and they're going out, and then they're ministering. See, we're teaching them how to do deliverance, and then they're doing deliverance in the mission. When they bring them in, they begin to do deliverance for them, on them. And I praise the Lord for it. The Lord just showed me, though, how it works. And this is what deliverance is for. It's not to make me feel good. It's to get me free so I can Freely you receive, freely give. Go out and give it to others, teach them. And so you can get filled up on God. And the more you get out of you, the more things that you get thrown out of you, then the more room you have for God inside of you. I listened to Brother last night on his message on the kingdom. And as he preached, God began to show it to me in the area of deliverance. I'm going home to teach it in deliverance. God showed it to me totally in deliverance. And I was blessed by your ministry last night. But as you were talking, the Spirit of the Lord was talking to me and showing me how... In the area of deliverance, because this is where I teach, is in deliverance. I also teach the kingdom message in the church, but when I'm any opportunity I get, it's deliverance, because it's in my heart, and I didn't ask for it, and I tried to run away from it, and I begged the Lord to give it to Jim and let Jim have it all by himself, and I just pray, I stand back and pray, but He put us together in it. And I praise the Lord for it, because the Lord has blessed us so much working together. Amen. And when Jim's sharing it, I always says, our heel marks are all the way down the closet where we drug down and said, no Lord, no Lord, no Lord, we don't want that, we don't want that, we don't want that. But the Lord gave it to us, and we praise the Lord for it. So I want to share with you a little bit today on unforgiveness. I find in ministering to these men, they've been so hurt. Rejected, wounded. They turn to drugs and alcohol because they've never felt love. And I'm having to teach them how to forgive their parents, forgive one another. It's hard for them because they've never experienced love. They come in and I'm dealing with a man right now, a young man there. I told them, I know that you don't call black people boys, and I said to them, now let me tell you something, don't get offended if I call you boy, because you are a boy. I'm an old woman, and you're a boy. You're like my sons. A lot of them adopted me as a mother. And I said, when I say boy, I'm not trying to offend you, I'm just calling you a kid. I said, and I pointed to my son, some of them had not met him, because they were new in the mission, and he had introduced me, and I said, he's a boy, and he's 46 years old. He's my boy. So they don't get upset with me. But they're so full of unforgiveness and hurt. And see, this brings hatred in. And it brings murder and violence and destruction. And it all begins with us forgiving. The Lord told me one time, I had a lady call me on the phone. And come after this. The Lord, since I've been there, the people from this charismatic church have been slipping in, the women, to hear the deliverance and to learn deliverance and to receive deliverance. And one of the big men in this church, and I say charismatic simply because it is a spirit-filled church, and they don't teach deliverance there. But this lady had been coming. She was full of fear. She'd been fearful since she was 4 years old. She had fear come into her when she was four. Her father died at four, and the fear came in. And so I've been ministering to her in the church. It's real hard when you got everybody calling you to come help them, to show them or tell them. But this lady was so desperate. We started ministering to her, and it just blessed me that these men that have been getting this deliverance, these black men come over there, and they just sit there and have so much love for her. They leave her for me to minister to, but they sit there and they pray, and they pray, the praying spirit. And she's just gotten so much deliverance. But her husband is one of the big cheese or wheels or whatever you want to call them in the church. And so he called the pastor and asked him, says, why is my wife wanting to stay up there at church all the time? Says, she doesn't even want to go to her church anymore. And so he said, well, she's getting some help there. And he says, well, I just think if she's got something on her, the lady should just say, get out, and you've got to go, and she'd be free. So I said to when they told me about this, I said, well, they told me he was coming to see what was happening that day. And I said, well, that's good. And I just loved it. And so we were ministering. I was busy somewhere else, and the secretary out of office there had come down to help me because we had women, and I was the only woman to minister to them. And so I had put Liz on this lady to minister to, and she was ministering, and all of a sudden her husband came in. Well, all the ministry stopped. She just stopped. She wouldn't let anything come out. She was so fearful of him. So Liz came over and asked me, she said, Miss Clark, what should I do? I said, put him on her. He's got authority over those things. Tell him to get. He said they need to. They had to go because we told them to, and they do. I said, now you just get him in the front, let him sit there, and let him call them off. And do you know he got hooked on deliverance? He got over there and began to minister to his wife, and she was getting deliverance. It just blessed me. I was kind of standing back watching, and after it was over with, he came over and he sat down and he said, man, I'm seeing things I never saw before. I said, is that so? He said, yeah. He said, Miss Carter, would you pray for me? And I said, oh, yeah, I'll pray for you. So I started to pray for him, and I just laid my hands on him, and I was praying in tongues over him, because I didn't know what the Lord wanted me to say to him and pray for him, you know. And so I was just praying over him, and all of a sudden he went down. I went with him. I wasn't going to let him get away. I thought, that old spirit ain't gonna do, it's not going to do this to me. So I went right down there with him and prayed for him. And he laid up a few minutes, and he got up, and he said, I got to talk to you. He said, there's just a lot of things I need to know. But what I'm saying, the reason I'm telling this, is that this lady had been tormented all her life, and she'd been in the charismatic church and been a big worker in it. And so afraid that she had six children, afraid to get out and drive in her car because she was afraid she couldn't find her way back home, and if she got a little lost or a little confused, she got so tormented, so fearful that she had to call somebody to come bring her home. And here they are, not believing in deliverance. So I just praise the Lord for what he's done in that, doing in that area, that he's bringing people in to hear about deliverance. And this may not bless you, but it's been such a blessing to us to see these men get delivered and get turned on to the things of the Lord, and especially in deliverance. Now, I started to tell you how the Lord spoke to me about forgiveness. I had a lady call me one time, and she said she wants some deliverance, and I said, okay, come on over. And back then, I would do deliverance in my house. I don't do that anymore because I have enough of it to do in the church, the two churches. And she came over, and I was ministering to her. And she had lots of problems. And as I was ministering to her, the Lord spoke to me, and he said, unforgiveness. And so I started after her. I talked to her about forgiveness, forgiving, and had led her through a prayer of forgiveness. Forgiveness, and when I started at that spirit of unforgiveness, he says, no, I won't forgive. I just won't do it. I won't forgive my mother. She says, you don't know what she's done to me. That was, she had a lot of hatred for her mother there, too. And so, of course, it was a spirit because she loved her mother. But as I was talking to her, the Lord began to talk to me about forgiveness, and he said, you tell her that she must forgive everything. Like I forgave her, like I forgave you. And the Lord talks to me. Sometimes he says it to me three times because I guess I'm just a little bit dense, and he's going to be sure I hear him. And he said, forgive like I forgave you. And he said it to me three times. And I said, Lord, show me what you're saying. He said, when I forgave her and forgave you, I forgave everything. You have no right to hold any unforgiveness at all against anyone. No matter what they did to you. You say, and people come for deliverance, and I heard Irma say this upstairs the other night. She got on forgiveness. And we say, well, I've forgiven everybody. No. I'm going to give you some scriptures, but I want to say, Lord showed me something one time. The reason I know you haven't forgiven everything, because you don't remember everything Lord wants you to forgive. And as you're willing to open up and ask God to show you any unforgiveness in you, the Lord will show it to you. The Lord showed me something that happened to me when I was a little girl. And he said, you need to forgive your sister. And you know, the scripture says it's the little foxes that spoil the vine. And so that was a little fox that was spoiling my vine. And it happened when I was a little girl. So let's look at the scripture and see what the scripture says. Over in Matthew in the 6th chapter, when the disciples came to Jesus and said, Lord, teach us to pray. Jesus said in verse 9, he says, after this manner, therefore pray ye, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debt, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. He says, if we don't forgive, then God won't forgive us. And this girl was telling me when she came to receive deliverance, she said, no, I will not forgive. I will not forgive. I can't. There's too much hurt associated with that and too much pain. So the Lord told me, said to me, ask her if she's willing to forgive. And I said, well, are you willing to forgive your mother? She thought about it a little bit, and she said, well, I'm willing, but I can't. And so I said to her, well, let's ask the Lord to forgive through you. I said, Father, I want to forgive, but I can't. Would you forgive my mother through me? And as God began to work in her like that, then she began to cry. And she says, as she said to the Lord, forgive her, you forgive her through me. Well, God began to work in her. And she began to weep. And she said, I want to forgive her. I understand. I can see now what you're saying. And as she forgave her mother, then she began to get deliverance from all this unforgiveness. Unforgiveness brings so much sickness in the body. It causes bitterness to come in, resentment, hatred, and anger, and murder. All kinds of forces come in through unforgiveness. We think when you're in deliverance, when you start doing deliverance, you go to getting the things off of the branch of the tree. I can't remember right now who it was talking about the tree and the fruit on the tree. This young man that I'm teaching deliverance to down at the mission, at the church, mission church, he said, Miss Coffee, I don't want to get the branches. I want to get the root of the tree out. I said, that's what has to go for complete deliverance to come. By the way, deliverance is a way of life. Did you know that? Jesus said we're in the world, and as we walk through the world, our feet get dirty. Didn't he wash the disciples' feet? And I think we have to continually take spiritual baths, and after we're free from the things that torment us, then these little foxes that come in, I have to tell you about myself. My husband drives a car, and sometimes he tailgates. Going medley now. And I would sit in the car, and I'd say, oh, he's going to hit that car. Why did he get so close to it? And he doesn't have accidents in the past, but one, he got hit from behind. Someone else hit him. But I was just sitting there just criticizing his driving. Not loud. Inside. Not loud. And I thought, Lord, why don't you do something with him? And the Lord spoke to me and said, why don't you get rid of that criticism? So we were driving along, and I began to call this stuff out of me, all the things that I was thinking, and I began to get deliverance. And he said, you tired? I said, no. I was yawning. He said, you sleepy? I said, no. He said, oh, okay, come on out there. It was amazing how much better he drove after that. You see, we let those things come in. We open our mouth and let them in. Jesus said, you forgive. Over in Acts in the 7th chapter, and these are scriptures I'm sure that you all know, but I'm going to give you the scriptures because this is the way the Lord gave it to me. In Acts, the 7th chapter, you remember when Stephen was stoned? When he had preached the sermon and they stoned him? In verse 55, it says, Scripture says, but he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God and said, behold, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. Then they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and ran upon him with one accord and cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witness laid down their clothes at a young man's feet whose name was Saul. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And he knelt down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. I read that to show you he forgave as Jesus did, as Jesus was on the cross. And he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. That's what he's saying to us. We forgive. We forgive sometimes with our mouth, but we don't forgive from the heart. Now, Stephen was being stoned, and he forgave the men that were killing him. people wound us, they hurt us, and it's hard sometimes to forgive them. Had a man come against me as a woman, preacher. I don't call myself a preacher. Our church makes me put preacher on our card, but I don't know what I am. But I love to talk, teach, share the word, and I love to minister. And I love to minister to people that are hurting. I don't want to minister to people that come up to me and say, look at me, what do you see on me? What do you see on me? Get it off. Well, they don't have a problem. I mean, the people that I minister to are those who are saying, I'm desperate, help me. And so for us to be able to go out and do what God wants us to do as we ministering to people, we've got to love them and we've got to forgive people that hurt us. And this man hurt me very bad. He hurt me through my son. My son, I was telling you about, he left us and he went to another place, to another church. And I won't tell you where it was because if I did, you might know who I'm talking about. But he went there to get some help. He had a lot of demons in him. He had been healed of gout, diverticulitis. That's another story where the Lord let me pray for him and God healed him before he was saved. And he freed him from the desire of drugs. He totally set him free from all these drugs he was on. And he didn't want Mom and Daddy to do deliverance on him and find out all the things he'd been involved in. And Daddy and Mama really didn't want to do it. Mama did. I don't know about Daddy, but Mother didn't. But we ministered to him some. I ministered to him a lot at night. He and I would stay up late at night, and I'd call things off of him. But he went to this church to get some deliverance, and the man threw him out of the church. But he came against us, me, because I was a woman doing the work. And so I had a lot of unforgiveness there. I had to, it hurt. It wounded my spirit. It caused me, that was why we came so long over to Lake Hamilton, and we would sit in the back and slip out the door. We had been so rejected that we didn't know that what we would be rejected here, so we weren't taking any chances. We were starving for fellowship. And we'd come over and we'd sit and listen to the ministers and really hungry to just have fellowship. But you see, I had to forgive that. I had to forgive. My son was hurt very bad. In fact, he hurt my son so bad at that time that he totally turned away from deliverance. Totally. Of course, the Lord's gotten back in it now, but that it took a while. And I had to forgive that. So things that happened to our children, we have to forgive the wounds that have been put in us because of the things that happened to our children, or things that happened to our husbands or our wives. He said, well, I'm forgiven. Emma was talking about it at the meeting upstairs this afternoon. He said, God's people are all sick. And they are. Because there's so much bitterness and unforgiveness and resentment in the spirit. And of course, you're talking about things we eat that are wrong. And that's a lot of it, too. But a lot of it is just plain old unforgiveness and bitterness and resentment in our hearts that we don't want to give up. God won't separate you from your friends. If you don't want to get free from something, like that girl said, I can't forgive my mother. In fact, she won't forgive her. Until she really saw that she had to get help. She wanted to hold on to it. She felt like she had a right to that. But we don't have any rights. We're God's children, and He loves us. Sometimes we wonder why, how can He love us? I sit here and listen to these sermons on what God is doing, how God wants us, where He wants to bring us to, and I'm so hungry to go on and get in. I want the fullness of the Spirit of the Lord. I want to see the power of God. But I keep thinking, Lord, clean us out and then fill us with your presence. But it's up to us to let him. I watch people in deliverance. And they'll sit with their hands folded, something be called out. And they look to see if somebody's looking before they'll let it loose. I watch this. They're afraid. Well, it's called a homosexual spirit, and it's been taught you know that it could come in through the sins of the fathers, and yet we sit there. We come to deliverance camp to get deliverance, and we hold on to our demons. We should say, Lord, everything in me that's not of you, go out, give me a blanket. If it takes that, I mean, that, you know, be willing. And let God clean the house. It breaks my heart because I know that a lot of people go home from meetings with things hanging on that they should have gotten rid of a long time ago. But they want a private session back in the back room. Jesus did it in the synagogue. He did it on the street corner. Jesus didn't have a back room. He did it as he went. He ministered. He healed the sick. He raised the dead. He cleansed the lepers. He opened the eyes of the blind, and he cast out devils. And he says, freely you've received, freely give. You know, he says if we don't forgive, that he'll turn us over to the tormentors. He also says the prayer's not answered. Look at Mark 11. Let's go to Mark 11. All these scriptures you know, but I just want to bring them back to you and let you look at them again. You know, a lot of times we mentally sin. I find people are mentally sinning the word. I run into demons that know the word. They can quote. I call them lawyer spirits. Think that they can quote scripture. We didn't debate with you. I watched you watch spirits debate with people, and they're lawyer spirits that are in people that know the word, but the person has no real knowledge inside of them of what that word's saying, and they sit there and debate with you. I don't debate the scriptures. I heard Erna say, and I praise the Lord for what she said. It's in the Word. That's what I'm reading out of the book. It's His book. It's His Word. So let's look at these today as if we didn't know them. And then as we look at them, let's ask the Father to show us unforgiveness in us and see if unforgiveness may be holding in some stuff you need to get rid of. Maybe it's the root of the sickness that you need to get rid of. In Mark 11, 25, and when you stand praying, forgive, if you have aught against any, that your Father also which is in heaven may forgive you your trespasses. When you stand praying, Lord, help me. Lord, I need this. I'm praying. You're praying here and we're praying there. And yet there's unforgiveness in our heart. That's where it says, when you stand praying, forgive. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father which is in heaven forgive you your trespasses. So if we don't forgive when we're praying, you drive down the road. You're going down the road, and somebody darts out in front of you, and you let out. You may not even let it out of your mouth, but you're thinking it, and you may think a lot of things you shouldn't be thinking. Instead of saying, when you do that, I'm not saying you won't do it, but when you do that, you should instantly stop and say, Father, forgive me for what I thought or what I said, because it is one of the little foxes that are going to spoil the vine, that keeps the fruit from coming forth on the vine. And he says, if we don't forgive, then he won't forgive us. Let's go to Matthew, the 18th chapter of Matthew. This is the one I was just quoted, just saying that if we don't forgive, he'll turn us over to the tormentors. And that is so true. We run into spirits that are tormentors in people, that they call themselves tormentors. He said, what's your name? He said, I'm a tormentor. I came to torment, and they do torment. I heard someone talking about fear. I can't remember who. I said I've been here since Friday, and a lot of things have just kind of balled together right now. But it's been good, glory. We're not leaving here like we came. Praise the Lord. But they were talking about fear, and this has nothing to do with what I'm sharing. I'm just sharing as the Lord leads me. But I went to bed one night, and I went to sleep. And I wake up, and I was so scared. I'm just terrible fear. So I was laying there binding fear in me, fear, every fear I could think of. Big fear I had, fear snakes. And I've been working on that. But I bound every fear I could think of. And yet it was so strong, I could reach out and touched it. And I said, Lord, I don't understand. I've bound everything I can think of. Why am I still fearful? Why is it so powerful? And the Spirit of the Lord told me, and he said, that's the spirit of fear in the heavenlies. Bind it. And I started binding a ruler spirit of fear that had dropped in from the heavenlies, just came in to torment me. And I bound it, and when I started binding, he left. And I went back to sleep. I had no more fear. And I'm not that fearful, except when I see a snake on the ground. Then I'm not real fearful anymore. That used to be. But Jesus said, if we don't forgive, you remember the man in Matthew 18 that had all of his debt forgiven. Okay, let's begin with Matthew 18, verse 23. says, therefore is the kingdom of heaven like unto a certain king which would take account of his servant when he had begun to reckon. One was brought unto him which owed him 10,000 talents for, but for as much as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold and his wife and children and all that he had and payment to be made. The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me and I will pay thee all. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion and loosed him and forgave him the debt. But the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants, which owed him a 100 pence, and he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, pay me that thou owest. And his fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, have patience with me and I will pay thee all. And if you drop down to verse 34, and you can read the rest of it, but I won't read it right now. He said, and the Lord was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due unto him. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you if ye from your heart forgive not every one his brother their trespasses. See, he said, from the heart, forgive. He said, if you don't, you'll be turned over to the tormentors. Who are the tormentors? The evil spirits that come to torment. Demons that torment. And demons do torment. That's their job. They torment. And they come to kill, to destroy. The main thing they want to do is kill. This man that I've been mentioning to, named Angelo, he's been shot. He's been knocked in the head. I think he's been shot several times. He's got scars on his head and on his arms. He's been cut. He's been stabbed. And we were ministering to him. Those men were ministering to him, and they called me over one morning, and they said, Miss Colby, this thing keeps telling us. It just keeps sitting there laughing at us and said he doesn't have to go. I said, we know that he has to go, so we can't get him out. I said, see if you can do anything with him. See if you can give us some discernment. And I was just standing there listening to him, and he was laughing. And he said, you can't throw me out. He doesn't have a soul. And so I thought, wait a minute. So while they're close to him, I knelt down on the floor, and I said, hey, demon. What do you mean he didn't have a soul? Well, that answers standing in judgment. And I know people that don't talk to them. But sometimes, when if you got a prisoner, if you were in war, and you had a prisoner of war, you would get all the information from him you could, wouldn't you? Well, they had him there, and he was a prisoner. And we were trying to find out why he was still there. Those men had been praying over him for a little while. And so they knew he had to go, and he just sat there and laughed at them. And so I said, what do you mean he don't have a soul? I said, that's not true. He said, I know about soul ties and fragmented soul and all this, but I wanted to know what he was talking about. And he said, he doesn't have a soul. And I said, well, sure he does. He said, no, he doesn't. And I said, that's standing the judge. He said, yes, it would. And I said, well, where is his soul? Now, I'm saying this like it just happened. It doesn't happen like that, because they don't tell you just because you ask. You have to make them. But he told me that this man had died. He had been shot and he died. And while he died, when he died, that this thing came in and took over. And I said, you lie. He says, no, I don't. That answers standing in judgment. And I said, well, where is his soul? He said, I'm going to tell you. But he ended up, he told me that his soul was in the deepest part of the sea and in glass jars. And so I began to ask the Father, I said, Father, send angels and break those glass jars and bring Angelo's soul back. And as every time I would say that, then he was getting deliverance. As the soul was coming back in, spirits began to come out. So, see, God gives us authority, and he tells us to take our authority. And Angelo had been really rejected and totally, just had no love at all. And so, of course, we had to lead him to a lot of forgiveness to forgive people. The people that shot him, the people knocked him in the head, the people that tried to kill him. But many times, this spirit was a spirit of destruction there. He said he was the Black Prince. And when you find something that says he's darkness, well, what did Brother West say? Lose light on him. So we tore his kingdom down. They did the last time they worked on him. But he had to forgive everyone that had shot him, hurt him, wounded him. I'm sure that was hard. But he did it. He wants to be free so bad. He wants to serve the Lord. He wants to do deliverance. Some of you may be bored with what I'm saying today, but I'll tell you something. If you could see what God is doing in these men that nobody wants, these men are going to be, they're important to God. Did you know the Lord blesses that mission, that church? He blesses it. That every need is met. the whole crux of what God's doing there is they're reaching out to those that nobody else wants, nobody else will touch, and they're loving them, they're feeding them, they're bringing them in, they're giving them shelter, they're teaching them about Jesus, and then they're going to get the ones that, a lot of them are going into the mission. They're taking 15 to 25 men with them to Jamaica in October. They're going over there and have a revival. And the ones that don't want to go on in the ministry, they're getting them jobs and sending them back to their families. There's a young man in that mission and over at the church now, a white boy, and he's had suicide on him, and nobody could do anything with it until we got into deliverance, and God has delivered him from suicide. He has tried to kill himself, and he was so afraid that he would kill himself that he's a carpenter. He was so afraid. He's got a wife and children. But he was so afraid that he would go home and stay with his family just a little while and come back and stay around the brothers so they could keep him from killing himself until we got the spirit of suicide off of him. So what that's got to do with unforgiveness? His mother rejected him, hurt him, kicked him out, didn't want any part of him. He had to get rid of his unforgiveness. We had to lead him through forgiving everything that she had done to him. And that's what suicide came from. She made him feel like he was not worth anything. And God says we have to forgive. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I tell those men, some of them, and you know, they're so willing because they want to be free so badly. They are so willing to forgive or repentance is. They will. I told them, I said, you know, Scripture says, God says, vengeance is mine, I'll repay, says the Lord. And I said, now when you pray for them, when you forgive them, you pray God will bless them. You ask God to bless your mother. You ask God to bless the man that knocked you in the head or shot you or tried to kill you. You ask God to bless them. And I said, what's God's greatest blessing? Salvation. Get them saved. Lose salvation to them. Lose God's love on them. And you know these men, you know what they do? You know what they do when they get delivered from this stuff? They go to praying for them. They have a prayer list, and they pray. Then when we get through with deliverance, I go at 10, and I get home 4 sometimes. They get in little groups and pray. They're praying here, and they're praying there, and they're praying there, and they're praying there. And then after they get through praying, they'll come back and say, we've got some questions. We'd really like to talk to you some more. Can we talk to you some more? And we sit down, and we have another Bible study. They're asking questions, and I'm answering. But they're hungry for the Lord, and they're just wanting to help others. And if they're in their bus going somewhere and they see someone walking down the street, you see these people standing on the side on the street corner with a sign saying, I'll work for food. Well, they try them to see if they mean it. Some of them don't mean it. They just want you to give them money. And they'll say, come on, we'll feed you. You can go with us. Where are you going? We're going to church. No, I'm going to go. But some of them do go. But God's Word tells us that we must forgive, and if we want to forgive, if we want deliverance, we must forgive. We must forgive everything.
This is the end of Part A. Please play Part B. Thank you. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.